Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. This is a special podcast for Pesach. In addition to this Pesach podcast, we have other resources for you for the holiday. One of them is the Pardes Companion to the Haggadah. The printout is available for you to use. It's 20 pages long, a series of discussions that can enhance your Seder experience. You can review it online and print it out on the Pardes website. Go to our distance learning, our electronic learning website, elmad.pardes.org. That's elmad.pardes.org. Look in the What's New section and you'll see the Pardes Companion to the Haggadah. As I mentioned, this is a special podcast for Pesach with Rabbi Howard Marcos. Rabbi Marcos is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Howard Marcos.
Thank you, Larry. Although this podcast is in anticipation of Pesach, I'm going to start our discussion with a brief look at the festival of Purim, but I promise you that we will find our way to Pesach in due time. It was less than a month ago when we celebrated, and I mean really celebrated, the Festival of Purim, in which we commemorated the miraculous victory of the Persian Jews over those who were committed to their destruction, led by the evil Haman. As the holiday has evolved over the centuries, certain traditions have been introduced into the observance of this particular day. One of the best-known customs is that of dressing up in costume. While modern commentators attempt to explain this special element of Purim with midrashic justification, such as with the idea that the miracle of Purim was disguised in natural events, or that Esther's time in the palace of King Ahasuerus was a pretense, where she disguised herself as a non-Jewish woman so that she would end up being in the right place at the right time to save the Jews from annihilation. While that may be midrashic interpretation, these explanations strike me as being without much literary support. The custom of dressing up in costumes on Purim was not recorded in the Talmud, compiled between the 2nd and 5th centuries of the Common Era, or the Gaonic literature of the 9th and 10th centuries in Babylonia. Rashi doesn't talk about it in his works, nor does Rambam, who lived in Spain in the 13th century. Mention is made of masks and costumes on Purim for the first time in the 14th century Italy. Some suggest that this unique expression of levity on Purim was influenced by the Christian practices of that time, in which the Tuesday before Lent, which is the period of solemnity and abstinence preceding Easter in the Christian calendar, that Tuesday before Lent begins, called by many Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday, was spent in unbridled revelry, which included the donning of masks and costumes. If Lent begins approximately 40 days before Easter, which takes place in and around Pesach time, then Mardi Gras would fall very close to Purim on a regular basis. Thus, we might surmise that a bit of the Christian joy was that which influenced this newly introduced practice of masquerading on Purim, at least in 14th and 15th century Europe. Over time, the custom became more widespread, prompting some rabbinic authorities to call for its abolition because it would lead to too much revelry, while others embraced the custom, creatively manufacturing compelling justifications for its inclusion in the festivities of Purim. The word for disguising oneself in Hebrew is lehitchapes, which has as its root chet, pei, sin, from which also comes the word lechapes, which means to seek out or search. The hitpael, or reflexive form of the verb, then would mean to create a situation in which one is sought out. Another way to say, to disguise oneself. The word lehitchapes is found a total of 8 times in the entire Tanakh, in various verbal forms, each and every time with the same meaning, to disguise oneself. There are two other words in the Tanakh that have the meaning of to disguise oneself, which I would like to examine with you during this podcast. One, found only three times in the entire Bible, is the word lihitnaker, whose root, nun kaf resh, means to be foreign, from where the word nochri, foreigner, comes. The hitpael form, which is what we are looking at today, means to make oneself foreign or unrecognizable by disguising ourselves. You may recall the first use of this word in the story of Joseph and his brothers who came to Egypt. In chapter 42 of Genesis, Bereishit, 10 sons of Jacob make their way to Egypt to procure food for the family during the years of famine that are beginning to devastate the entire area. Joseph immediately recognizes his brothers when he first sets his eyes on them when they arrive in Egypt, but they do not recognize Joseph, perhaps because of his clothing, his haircut, or the fact that he spoke to them through an interpreter. At any rate, the text informs us in verse 7, Vayar Yosef et Echav vayakireim, vayitnaker aleihem, vaydaber itam kashot. When Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he acted like a stranger toward them, vayitnaker, and spoke harshly to them. Neither the translation nor the context lend themselves to the kind of disguising oneself that we are seeking in the understanding of the word, unless we acknowledge that in many ways Joseph was indeed in disguise in this initial encounter with his brothers. Let's take a look at the second reference of lihitnaker in the Tanakh. This one is found in the book of Proverbs, Mishle, attributed to King Solomon. Here he makes an intriguing suggestion to his readers. Gam b'ma'alalav yitnaker na'ar, im zach v'im yashar po'olo. A child may be dissembling in his behavior, even though his actions are blameless and proper. JPS translates yitnaker in this spot as dissembling, which lends itself well to a kind of intended misrepresentation. Webster's dictionary defines dissembling as to hide under a false appearance. This proverbial comment is warning us that at times our children may seem to be zach and yashar, blameless and proper, but it may be misleading because they are actually in disguise and they are really mischievous and troublemaking. This use of the verb lihitnaker fits much more successfully into our discussion about dressing up and disguising ourselves. But the third use of the term is the one that has the greatest significance for us in this holiday season. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 14, there is a story about the evil king of Israel, Jeroboam, who, in spite of the fact that he was the first king of the northern territories, which were called Israel, led his constituency astray by continuing to encourage the worship of idols. Jeroboam even appointed priests for the shrines in his kingdom from the ranks of his people without paying any regard to their ancestry or their piety. In modern terms, I think we call this improper patronage appointments. One day, Jeroboam's son, Abijah, felt sick. Jeroboam was distraught and needed to know what was going on with his son. He instructed his wife to make her way to the prophet Ahijah, who previously had prophesied that Jeroboam would become king over the Israelite kingdom. He told her to disguise herself. Velo yed'u ki at Yerovam, ki at eshet Yerovam. Vehalacht shilo, hinei sham Ahijah hanavi, hu diber alai lemelech al ha'am hazeh. Disguise yourself so that you will not be recognized as Jeroboam's wife, and go to Shiloh. The prophet Ahijah lives there, the one who predicted that I would be king over this people. The story continues. Vatas kein eshet Yerovam, vatakom vaitelech Shiloh, vatavo beit Ahijah, va'Ahijahu lo yachol lirot, ki kamu enav misevo. Jeroboam's wife did so. She went to Shiloh and came to the house of Achiah. Now Achiah was blind due to his old age. Vadonai Amar el Achiyahu, Hine Eshet Yerovam Ba'a Lidrosh Davar Me'imcha El Benah Kicholehu Kazov Chazet Tedaber Eleha Vihi Kevoah Vihi Mitnakera. But the Lord had said to Achiyah, Jeroboam's wife is coming to inquire of you concerning her son who is sick. Speak to her thus and thus. When she arrives, she will be in disguise. Vehi mitnakera. Achiah heard the sound of her feet as she came through the door, and he said, Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why are you disguised? Lama ze at mitnakera. The prophet proceeds to instruct her to bring a rather harsh message from the divine back to her husband regarding Jeroboam's unacceptable behavior as king of Israel. He would not succeed as king, Achiah promised, and moreover his son would die the minute his wife would return from her visit to the prophet. The significance of this passage brings us to the essential message of this podcast. Jeroboam wanted objective information from the prophet Achiah, so he sent his wife, whom he bade disguise herself, so she would not be recognized as the king's wife. But this ruse was all for naught. First of all, Achiah was blind, so whether Jeroboam's wife was disguised or not would not make a difference to a blind man. Moreover, if he is a prophet of God, then it would not be strange at all for Achiah to enjoy divine communication, which he did, with God telling him that Jeroboam's wife is coming to see him and that she will be in disguise. In this episode, the third and final time that the verb lehitnaker is used, the understanding of disguising oneself is very clear and understandable. When we look at the very first verse of this episode, however, when Jeroboam first instructs his wife to disguise herself, we find the following phrase, Vayomer Yerovam leishto kumina vihishtanit. Jeroboam said to his wife, Go and disguise yourself. The word used for disguise yourself in this verse is vihishtanit, which is another hitpael verb, this one derived from the root shin nun hei, which means change or be different. Make yourself different, Jeroboam tells his wife, which commentators suggest mean, one, possibly put on clothes that are not like those that a king's wife would wear, or change your voice so that you will not be recognized by those who know what you sound like when you speak. Or finally, change your behavior so that you will not be identified as royalty. In summary, the change that the rabbi suggests Jeroboam's wife underwent had to do with her outer garments, the sounds that emerged from her mouth when she spoke, and her behavior. The word vihishtanit, with this root and in the hitpael verb form, is found nowhere else in the entire Tanakh. And yet, it is this same word in the hitpael form that is used to open the Magid, telling portion of our Pesach Seder. We ask the very familiar question, Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylot, which we have always translated, why is this night different from all of the other nights? And while it's true that in many, many cases, a word found in the Tanakh undergoes a change of meaning, sometimes a major change and sometimes only a slight change, when it is used by the rabbis in the Mishnah, I would like to suggest, though, that the question that we ask on this coming Pesach and at the Seder on Friday night is not, why is this night different? But rather, why is this night in disguise, representing something other than what it really is? The rabbinic commentary to Jeroboam's wife, the disguised woman of the Bible, might offer us some insight into what that disguise might be. Please keep in mind that there is nothing inherently bad about being in disguise. Sometimes when we act or dress or speak in a way that is different than who we are most of the time, but which reflects who we would like to be, the disguise can over time help affect a positive change in ourselves. And so, the changed clothing represents the outer display that we behold at the Seder table, where there is even a tradition that participants at the Seder wear a kittel, an all-white garment, to remind us of purity and innocence of angels, perhaps angels whom we would like to emulate. The dishes are not the same dishes that we use the rest of the year. The food is not the same either. The text from which we read is also unique to this holiday. All of these disguises, as it were, are to assist us in entering into the world of Pesach, recalling that we used to be slaves, eating what they ate, experienced what they experienced. Bechol dor vador, chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim. In every generation, each of us must do our best to see ourselves as if we experienced the exodus from Egypt. The idea of opting for an alternative representation or disguise can certainly contribute to the development of this mandate to activate our imagination on the eve of Pesach as if we too exited Egypt. At our Seder table, we dress ourselves up and we adorn our dinner table in almost unrecognizable fashion and act as though each and every one of us is a free person. Maybe if we look and act the part long enough, we will come to believe it to be true. Our voices are disguised in that whether we are talkers or singers or readers in real life, on this occasion at the Seder table, we use those voices and share in the different aspects of the holiday, talking about what makes the holiday unique, singing together traditional melodies as well as tunes introduced by guests who have come to celebrate with us, and reading yet again the various sections of the Haggadah in hopes of deriving new insight from the Mishnaic and Midrashic texts found therein. And finally, we disguise our behavior by participating actively in the Pesach Seder, a time-honored Jewish ritual that seems to have something to offer everyone, regardless of age, gender, vocation, educational level, or political leanings. We put aside for a brief moment that our world is not an easy place to live in right now. Unlike the wife of Jeroboam, we want very much to be identified as royalty, to be king and queen for the day, to be waited upon, served delicious delicacies. Many of us choose to lean to the left when we eat, a known sign, at least in Mishnaic times, signifying that we are indeed free persons. And while there is only one occasion in which the hitpael verb vihishtanit is present in our Tanakh, it is quite prolific in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, usually carrying the traditional meaning of to be different, rather than the biblical meaning to be in disguise. So in the spirit of the upcoming holiday, I would like to conclude this podcast with the examination of a Beraita, an outside early statement made by the rabbis, this one from the great Rabbi Meir, found in the Tractate of Sanhedrin, page 38a. This teaching is in response to an earlier statement found on the page, which asserts that the reason that there was only one Adam created by God on the sixth day was so that no one in later generations will say, "I come from better stock than you." And yet, hints Rabbi Meir, although we all come from the same single individual Adam, we are all different in certain ways. Rabbi Meir says, "Bishlosha dvarim Adam mishtane mechavero, bakol, bamar'eh, uvada'at." Rabbi Meir taught, regarding three elements, every person is different, mishtane, from a friend or companion, in their voice, in their appearance, and in their knowledge. Our voices are different, so that the unique and sincere words of love and intimacy shared with those for whom we care the most will be trusted and believed. The words expressed in our statements are ours alone when we choose to speak up and allow our feelings to be shared with others. We are all different in appearance, so that we can come to be confident about who we are, projecting a persona that is declaring what you see is what you get. The word mar'eh means appearance, which in this verb form actually implies that which we wish for others to see. The Braita teaches us that we can work towards making tochenu kivorenu. Our outsides reflect who we are on the inside, each one of us possessing uniqueness of our own, of which we can be proud. And we are all different in our knowledge. We must keep in mind that every person has their own expertise. We are all good at some particular something that is unable to be replicated by others. It would be a boring world if everyone knew everything about everyone. The thief, says the Gemara, would know where we keep our treasures. The student would not be able to appreciate her teacher's insights. There would be no element of surprise in life. And while we can and must certainly read the word da'at, as it is quoted in the Braita, a word that means knowledge, we can also find another word in this term, namely de'ah, opinion. Each of us has our own opinions, which, by virtue of our life experiences, our interactions with others, and the way that we see the world, make us unique and different from those around us. And if we wish for our opinions to be heard, reflecting the unique knowledge that we possess, then we must ourselves make a concerted effort to listen to others, appreciating that each person with whom we interact has a unique way of seeing the world just as we do. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylot. What makes this upcoming night of the Pesach Seder in all of its various disguises special to us? It is special because it is never the same from year to year due to the unique input of all who are assembled. It is special because there's no other time in the Jewish calendar year that has the components that Pesach has. Discussion and singing and eating and more singing and more discussion and more eating. What makes this upcoming Seder night special is that it has managed to hold on to its importance in the Jewish world for over 2,000 years with very few changes, and yet by design is ready to accept creative input regarding customs and traditions. As we make the annual transition from the irreverent revelry of Purim to the tradition-laden learning fest of the eve of Pesach, may we be confident enough to simply exchange one mask for another, one persona for another. May we be cognizant of the disguises that we don and be comfortable about wearing them when we so choose. And may this year's Pesach, Seder and all, be one in which creativity and contribution remain central. Chag Sameach.
Thank you, Rabbi Marcos. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.